Welcome to the future of sports betting with Atlas World Sports. Atlas World Sports is your super sports book on your phone. Find the latest lines in real time to give yourself every advantage to beat the house. Better action coming soon. Atlas World Sports will deliver a winning experience for all your rookie bettors, all the way to Hall of Fame bettors, with our AI-based Game Winners predictive model for subscribers. Find Atlas World Sports in iOS and Android app stores or via atlasworldsports.com. Atlas World Sports, may the odds forever be in your favor. Bet better.
I want to thank our sponsor, bedinabox.com. You guys know I did the sleep number commercial for the Super Bowl, but I can no longer sleep in that bed. It's a long, long story. So we got a new mattress. They have a 120-day risk-free trial. If you don't like the fucking bed, you send it right back. The code word is Ripper10. 10% off what already is the sale going on the site right now. So go to bedinabox.com, code word Ripper10, and go buy a fucking mattress. Missionary only, though. You're only allowed to bang missionary in the mattress. That's it.
All right, so we're at another episode of Ripper Magoo Podcast. Our co-host today, I felt like we had to have him in here because, well, it's his fucking place. John Sarasani.
This is the rent. He has to let me co-host with him. That's a rent.
Yeah, but how long can I stay? John, the mic needs to be a little bit closer to the face.
Okay, is that how it works?
There it is.
My first time, buddy.
By the way, John, it's part of the deal, right? I mean, if I keep producing good podcasts here, I can just stay?
It depends how many views we got. And with today's guest, I think we're going to get a shitload.
Yeah.
We're going to get a shitload.
You know how we met, Darren?
Well, he told me he was the star of some movie that he's going to win an Oscar for, and you were like some supporting cast member.
So. Yeah, pretty much. And yeah. I was pretty much his caddy when he was golfing down in the Dominican Republic.
We made that TikTok video.
We did. That was my first one.
So Darren is an extremely, extremely, extremely talented actor, blowing up, and fourth season of Never Have I Ever is the show.
Number four, yeah.
On Netflix.
Yep.
So you must be fucking rich now.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to be smart with the money, doing my best.
When did that show start? Because it's fucking, what is it, number, it's every year, is it number one?
Every year, yeah, it goes, it's been like number one in the U.S. and multiple other countries. It's a very international show, so we're very lucky. But this was, the first season came out at the peak of COVID, like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be an actor?
I wanted to be an actor since I was five, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Doing like little auditions and stuff in front
No. Funny enough, both of my parents had kind of dabbled with acting in like the 70s and didn't really work out. So, you know, I think telling your parents you want to be an actor is like telling them you want to be like a rock star or an astronaut. It's not the first thing they want to hear, especially with an Asian mother. You know, it was all about college and trying to become something substantial. So my dad like took me to an audition when I was like seven because I wouldn't let it go. He was like, look, they'll let you give it a try, but what they say goes. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, he's a bit shy. Mm-hmm. And my dad was like, see, you're shy. Maybe put it away.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of bottled it for pretty much until I graduated college.
Mm-hmm. Bottled what, the shyness?
Bottled the desire to like act. Like I always wanted to do it, but like it wasn't like I was getting shut down. Like, oh, you'll never be able to do this. Like my mom was like, you can do anything. But it was funny with acting. She was like, maybe you should play it safe and, you know, go to college, get a regular job, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to school?
My mom faced me with, you know, you have to get a full ride wherever you go because we were very low income.
Okay.
So I got a full ride a couple places, but the one place that just kind of offered the best deal plus a job was Berry College, small private school in North Georgia.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Was Never Have I Ever the first, because I'm guessing that was your first big break. Did you, when you first got, how did you get that show?
You know, that show, it was a casting office I'd been into a lot of times and seemed like I built some good rapport, but you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where I was like really kind of at the end of my rope. And you hear this story all the time with actors. I was really at the point where I was just like, I gotta find medical insurance. I gotta start like, you know, finding a place to live and not hopping between three different places and couches. So I just kind of went in there with this a different mindset, attitude, I guess. And it's funny. I think it's like everything else in life. Like you want what you can't have, what you want, what you think you can't have a little bit more. Maybe I gave off that energy. I have no idea.
But you were on an episode of season one of This Is Us, weren't you? And it was super well received, right?
Yeah, I mean, that show was very well received. I was lucky to be a part of it. It was very small, like pop-in role. I was playing the young version of Jack Pearson, who is played by Milo Ventimiglia. And yeah, that was my first time like on a big, like it was at Paramount Studios. Yeah. I was taking it super seriously, even though I had like two lines. But that was like, yeah, that was my first kind of intro into, you know, being on a network television show.
But then there was a gap where nothing was happening for you after
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Acting's brutal, dude.
It's nuts. You know, like I came out here with a college degree and I was folding jeans for a living. And then I was working in 20 different places. It's funny being on this. I'm not going to say where we are, but we're very close to a place I used to work. Mm-hmm. And I used to walk Sunset Boulevard every day to work because I couldn't afford parking. Mm-hmm. And I would look at all the billboards and like, man, like how cool would it be just to be a part of, like not even on it, but just a part of a show that was being advertised on Sunset. And since then, that was 7 years ago. And then about 3-4 years ago when the show came out, Sunset was lined with Never Have I Ever billboards and my face was on it.
You were on a billboard?
I was on billboards lining all up and down Sunset.
And you actually were you from season, because are you like the main character pretty much?
No, the main character centered around Maitre Ramakrishnan and she plays Davey. I'm one of her two male love interests.
Who does she like more?
You know, that's the question.
Is it the Ben kid?
I don't know, man. That's the question. That's what people argue about on the internet and make edits about on the internet.
Who do you personally feel like she likes more?
I think, you know, it's the character of Ben is Mr. Brainiac and very aligned with her academically. So mm-hmm. that's why they kind of get along. But they've also had this very, they're always putting each other down. So with me and her, it was just like I've always been her crush since she was very, very young and never caught my attention. Until she asked me to have sex with her, season one.
Oh, it's, and like then, it's like, I thought it was a kid-friendly show.
No, it's, you know, that's, it looks like that even when it's advertised, but you have to keep it in mind, it's written by, you know, the same people that, like, wrote The Office and write a lot of comedies like that. So, it's funny when, like, you know, a lot of the fan base I have is like, younger teenage to, like, early 20s females, but I'll have 50-year-old men come up to me in the street and be like, hey, you're that guy from that show.
Yeah, no,
like,
I was with you when they every girl on the, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I swear to God, when I was with him, John, it was insane. Every fucking girl, I was so jealous.
Yep.
Came up to him and was just like freaking the fuck out.
Yep.
And you know what is that fucking ring by the way?
We want to pause it for a second.
No, we just keep running it. It's all just live. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Just fucking do it live.
But every fucking girl was literally coming up to him nonstop. And just, it was crazy. But so with the scenes, though, is because I actually, believe it or not, I don't want to be a dick, right? Not really my type of show.
Sure.
Right? Because who watches that show? What's like the demo?
Well, that's the thing, man. I'm telling you, like, you've seen it live in person where it's like a lot of like younger, you know, women or like young females, young adults in general. But I'll be in like the middle. I was producing a movie in New York and we hired like, we didn't want to hire actors. We wanted to hire these like really like from the neighborhood, Brooklyn, Italian, like pinky ring wearing dudes. And my friend knows a lot of them. And one of the guys comes up and he's like, you like kid from that fucking show? And I was like, I don't think, there's no way. He's like, love that show.
Really?
He's like, I'm team fucking Paxton.
But it's around teenagers though, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm like, maybe he watched it with his daughter or whatever, but he had been a fan of it and had been following it. And knew all about it. So I was like, huh.
Interesting. The crazy thing, which must be, is like an actor and stuff, which is always very like awkward and shit, has to be, are they doing like hookup scenes? Like, do you ever hook up with each other on the show?
You mean like have sex on the show?
No, I don't know if this is like a kid's show, so I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble, so I don't know. I don't want to say anything dumb.
But I did a lot of research before this interview.
No. I go into every interview
so
like
Darren's an actor.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying like there's kissing scenes.
Yeah.
But there are like fucking scenes.
Yeah. There's implied sexual scenes. Yes.
Like, are you under the covers with somebody doing something?
I mean, no, not, it's implied, but it's very much a topic of the show.
Okay.
Very much, they're always talking about it and like crudely, vulgarly talking about it a lot of the time. But yeah, it's not Euphoria. You're not seeing us pounding it out.
And what's your age on the show now?
My age, God, I don't even know, like.
You're out of high school?
Probably, no, he's out. He's in first year of college, so he's like 19. 19 area.
Is it like back in the day with like 90210 when like the seasons just keep going? It's like, okay, wait a minute. They were only supposed to be eighth graders when this started.
Honestly, it makes so much more sense to me now. Because like I grew up with shows like that and I remember just like, man, why don't I look like this dude? Like you watch things like Smallville and granted the guy's supposed to be Superman, but I'm like, he's 6'5", 220 muscle. Right. And I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, okay. It's because all of them were literally in their like late 20s, early 30s doing these roles. But
yeah.
It's not a new formula. It's just.
So season one comes around, you get cast.
Timmy, by the
no,
way.
No, that can't happen.
All that ringing.
That can't happen.
No.
Who's Timmy?
No, that can't happen. Oh, yeah. Is that Timmy? That can't happen.
That's what the ringing was too.
Experiencing some Timmy.
Who's that? Who's that? Timmy, that, this can't happen right now. You got to behave a little, buddy. I'm sorry. Can't happen.
That was the front desk.
I don't know what's behind me
Timmy,
right now.
Timmy's a wild man. Anyway, so we have.
Hey, Timmy. How you doing?
I love it. So, all right. So you have. So season one came around and then it was just really, really, really successful out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, it was. It was really insane because we were supposed to come out of lockdown, I believe, on like April 27th, which was my birthday. That was also the night the show was coming out. So all of us were kind of like this. Obviously, we all wanted to get out of lockdown, but we were like, man, if everyone gets out of lockdown on the 27th and the show comes out, no one's going to be at home watching Netflix because they've been doing that for the past 4 months. Mm-hmm. So we were like, man, lockdown gets extended like a week or two. And the show comes out, and I remember my internet went out in my house, and I couldn't even watch it. My phone didn't work, nothing. And I was like, all right, maybe it's a sign. And then I wake up to like 200,000 more followers, and then the next hour, like 100,000 more. And I'm like, wow, okay. Not that I'm saying that's a measure of success, because I fucking hate social media sometimes, but I was like, okay, it's getting some traction. It's getting some eyes on it. Yeah. And then it goes number one, and then like I didn't realize it was going to be in like every country, because sometimes it's just Netflix US, sometimes it's just Netflix London or whatever. But yeah, it was a wild ride.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, I have a respect. You said Berry College earlier, and I made a living working with small private colleges. This was the business I was in. So I you go in there on a full scholarship, getting financial aid. They give people from low-income families opportunities like that in those smaller private schools. But I think what's most interesting about you when I started researching you is you speak four freaking languages.
Yeah.
Know, people are quick to dismiss people, like actors, oh, this guy's, you know, he's not an academic type. I mean, that's pretty fucking impressive.
The internet likes to be very ambitious with what I do, what I speak. But no, I you know, I grew up speaking a lot of Spanish, grew up in a very, like, you know, a very heavy Hispanic area of LA, a lot of Hispanic friends.
You grew up in LA, all the way to Georgia?
I grew up in LA and then moved to Florida with my mom when I was like 12.
Got it.
So I grew up speaking like Spanish and then took it in school for a while. I'd say I'm pretty fluent speaking it, understanding it. Can be, I got it, you know, I need it slow sometimes. But then, yeah, Japanese, I took it in school, spoke it with my grandma sometimes. I'm more conversational in that. Mm-hmm. I do know how to write in hiragana, which is like one of the writing forms, which is fun. But if you can't read katakana, then you're screwed reading a newspaper, so it doesn't really matter.
Do you feel like with your fame now, being a Japanese American, like you're representing?
I'm stoked that I'm Asian enough to be a part of the club, to be honest. Because like I know, looking at me, you know, on the street, most people are just like, I know he's not fully white, but he's, you know, maybe he's half, you know, I'm always guessed for half something or like Latino or whatever. But a lot of like other Japanese people or just Asian people in general can tell because they probably have like a cousin that is my mix. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited to be a part of the club. So
does the money? So you're in season four now, the final season. Are they going to do another season after this, or is it done?
No, we're done.
You guys are all done.
Yeah.
So money wise, I always like to talk, and I think, you know, whatever. Money wise, is the season one, you get paid the same from season one all the way to season four?
No, typically how it works is season one, you know, you get, you know, whatever rate they give you. You can fight as much as you want, but is what it is sometimes. And you usually get like a 5%. I think increase every year, but if it goes to season three is when you renegotiate the money.
Ooh, and that's when it becomes fun.
Really,
So when you're renegotiating the money, I mean, how fucking greedy were you with that? With trying to just stick them
this
and
is
saying,
why
you need me on this fucking show.
This is why I'm always the good guy, is because I have a team to be the bad guy.
Right.
I have my lawyers and my agents and my managers that are fighting the fight. I don't.
Were you getting calls though, and were you the kind of guy that's like, "Fuck that, no, fuck more money," and then hang up the phone, or were you?
I mean, there were times when I was like, we can do better, but it's it gets really sticky during these things sometimes, and it can really sometimes ruin the dynamic of a show. I think it just ruined a lot of shows. I'm not saying it did that to ours, but it like it gets iffy because like you go from basically making the same as everyone else to then there's going to be discrepancies.
Right, but then because you're an important character, so I'm guessing that you have all the leverage too, because then they just can't fucking, what, they just got to kill you off?
Yeah, but like every...
First episode, like he died in a fucking flood.
Every character can argue their importance though, you know, so it's it's real muddy water there.
If you're too big of an asshole, they'll figure out a way to get rid of it. And that reputation will follow you, right? For future, you're young enough that you're going to be doing this for a while. Right?
You know, yeah, if you, you know, in a show like that, I think the fan base is so strongly involved with like the love triangle between me, Ben, and Davey. Mm-hmm. I would have had to do something really terrible to piss them off enough to write me out. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, I'm not that type of actor. For any producers and directors watching this,
so how much money do you make an episode?
Is it enough?
Public? Is it public knowledge?
You know, I make enough.
Is it public? Is it six figures an episode?
Is it public knowledge? I don't know. You can find something probably on the internet. I'm not gonna confirm nor deny.
Is that a rude question to ask John how much somebody makes?
I don't think it's rude. You know what I want to ask you though is with the strike right now, is that one of the big pieces about it where Netflix, if you have a number one show, Netflix doesn't make more money because of that. So they can't like necessarily pay you more. And that
I don't know how it works, man, because I got into it knowing like I was just like, okay, I'm on a show, but like we don't have commercials, which is, in my knowledge, it could be really dumb of me to think this, that's partially where residual income comes from,
right?
But then I'll get random residual checks from Netflix out of nowhere, and sometimes they're substantial, sometimes they're not. I have no idea how it works,
really,
but there is a residual business there because I'm getting checks,
and it's not the same dollar amount every time. It's just
no, it's always different, really? And I always have it comes out of nowhere, but It's less easy to track than friends of mine that are on like a CW show, and they know that they're going to be getting residuals every season. So,
got it.
What did you, Darren was actually involved in the Roadhouse movie as well, where I was probably going to win an Academy Award for
it. It's where we fell in love, Bob.
That's where me and you fell in love, buddy. We really did.
Were you really roommates? Was Bob making that up? Did he leave shit all over your trailer like he does my condo?
No, honestly, I don't know. I'll give it to Bob. As much of a shithead as you are, as I've learned, I wouldn't have been able to get through it without you, man. Yeah. We rode together on the plane, but didn't even meet each other until we got off the plane, and then we rode together into Casa de Campo. And then we were kind of inseparable.
We were in the Dominican Republic down there. You ever been to Casa de Campo? Yeah.
No, I've been to Punta Cana. It's
fucking crazy. It's this big ass property. You got a golf cart. They have Teeth of the Dog, the golf course there. They got all these like different shooting ranges, horses, all this. It's like a fenced off area. I don't even know how big it is. It's massive.
It's acres upon acres upon acres. Like it's huge.
Yeah, but we were down there for a long, long time. We almost remember we had the. Did you have to escape the hurricane?
No, we were there together, man. Yeah, that's when this is also during the time when you had these fake fingers on your hand and couldn't wipe your own ass.
Oh yeah, because my hand in the movie, the prosthetic hand.
Yeah, you were freaking out a little bit.
They fucking. Do you know somebody saw an early screening of the movie?
Oh really?
Yeah, and I asked the person. I'm not going to name them because I think they signed an NDA. They can't talk about it. But they messaged me and they were one of the early screeners. I was like, yeah. So how did I do? They were like, dude, you weren't good. I was like,
oh man,
oh fuck.
Well, I'm gonna put you on blast. Did Jake say you were good?
Jake said I was good.
Jake said you were good. Are you saying Jake's wrong?
Jake was definitely.
You're saying Jake doesn't know acting.
I'm not.
Probably gonna watch this.
Jake has become a great friend of mine, and I think that he did compliment me that day. But I don't think the way the kid said it, he was like a kid that would be honest, And he just was like,
So you're calling Jake a liar.
Jake's one of the greatest guys I've ever met. Oh, you know, you can't cancel me on my old show, Dan. You can't cancel me on my old show, brother. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. So you have not only that good luck this season, because we're going to air this episode right after the show airs tomorrow. So good luck with all that shit. You're filthy rich now, which is cool. But you have other stuff going on. You have other shit going on too now. You were just in Australia?
I just came back from Australia, yes.
What did you do there?
I was doing a movie directed by Will Gluck. He's done like Friends with Benefits, Easy A, and it was opposite Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell, Dermot Mulroney, who you need to have on the show because he is the man.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a rom-com based off of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, and it was a great time.
Do you feel like you're going to be typecasted now as that kind of lover boy fucking teenage fucking heartthrob now?
Not if I do anything about it.
Huh?
Not if I can do anything about it.
Right? But do you get mostly now roles for that?
No. I mean, it's when they come, if it's good, I'm all about it. If it's a good movie, if it's a good role, great. Mm-hmm. If it's not, I won't do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
With your fame right now with this, though, do you have to be, like, super strategic on what roles you take? And is the next step, like, a big decision for you?
Yeah, and, like, I don't even want to come off like I'm taking this for granted because, again, I'm, like, you know, 7 years ago, I'm in and out of my life is in the trunk of my car. Mm-hmm. I'm not making a dollar acting. I'm working 20 different jobs. And now, yeah, I'm in a place where it's you got to be strategic because I'll get, thankfully, offered roles a lot now. Mm-hmm. And you can't ever be taking a step down from what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You always kind of want to elevate the conversation, elevate the role, elevate the production. So now, yeah, a lot of offers come that some are typecast, some are not. I got something, I didn't sign an NDA, but it was something about like monkeys with lasers on an island. And it was just, it seemed like the worst thing I'd ever heard of in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they were offering crazy money. And I'm just like, how do people get funding for stuff like this?
Right.
It blows my mind.
Are movies, I don't know, have you ever invested in any movies?
I've done a couple like pre-production things and it, knock on wood, it's worked out for me where I've funded pre-production and actually got my fucking money back.
Because that's rare, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I did it with a couple people that said they had a pre-sold. They were looking for excuses to work with me and I did it. I go, dude, I'm trusting you. We'll never work together if I lose this. And both of them went through. So it's fortunate in that.
I wouldn't want to owe you money either, bro.
Dude, I will fucking come. I will come to your house.
John, come over,
dude,
man.
Wait, you're Japanese? Do you know karate or anything?
Oh, I know all of it, bro.
Oh, you do know karate?
I know punch you in the nuts and run as fast as I can.
Johnny's a big mother. What are you, 6'5"?
I'm going to tell you what. When I bump into a guy like you, so what's great about a guy my size, I don't have to fight, right? Because people usually don't fuck with me. Until someone your size does fuck with me, I'm like, that motherfucker knows jiu-jitsu or something.
Yeah, you know? It's like I saw it in a special or something. Like when they start slapping their knees, you're like they know something I don't know.
Just apologize and walk away.
So are you old? Are you older than your character? Obviously, you're way older than your character you're playing in that show. We'll go back. Yeah. Never Have Ever. You're older than that. How old are you?
I am 32 years old.
And you're playing an 18-year-old kid?
Yeah, he's 19.
So do you have to like take care of your face and everything like extra? I saw you like eye patches on and shit in the trailer when you were doing.
Oh yeah, man. It's.
I was chugging Bug Lights.
You gotta treat your vehicle right. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Should probably stop drinking out at parties if
fuck
that's the
you,
case.
Darren. That'll never fucking stop. You know what I mean? That'll never stop. So, Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
What is that? That's a big name.
Yeah, man. It's a true story. It's a Sony film that is based off of a true story around the video game Gran Turismo. Mm-hmm. So it's a biopic off of Jan Martinborough, who is a current and formidable race car driver that became a race car driver from winning a Gran Turismo competition. Mm-hmm. So the thing about racing is that it's obviously very expensive. So it's not like, you know, basketball where you can just kind of like get into it at a school or something. Like you need money. So this is about this tournament that's opened up to people that just don't have the means to like actually pursue professional racing on their own. And who's ever the best at this competition that's opened up gets a spot to compete for a spot on the Nissan racing team. And Jan is that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is your goal as an actor, the end goal is, do you like want to win an Academy Award? Is that something that you think is within like reach? Is that like, I guess that's the end goal, right?
That's honestly, I think that's the reason I got into what I'm doing anyway, is because there's not really an end goal. Growing up, like I knew I wanted to be an athlete. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be all these things. But it was like when I got into the real world and started looking at jobs and I was like, I had these job offers. I was like, I looked at everything and I was like, great. I see the start in the mailroom and then I can climb up and be CEO and then that's cap. Like what else do you do at that point? Mm-hmm. So acting was the one thing where one, I didn't have to choose anything. I can taste a little bit of every life. I can play a race car driver. I can play a lawyer. I can play a criminal. I can play whatever. Dive myself into it enough where I have to learn about it, but there's also no cap. Like plenty of actors win Academy Awards, they keep acting, they keep wanting to outdo themselves and top themselves.
Mm-hmm. John, what is your ratio to male female following
for my followers,
for your followers?
Like 70-30 male.
Mm-hmm. Mine is I think 99 male, 1% female. Darren, what is yours?
Yeah, mine's like 90-10 female.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? 90-10 female.
And what age? 13 to 17?
No.
Darren's going to be real careful in there.
It says like, I think like, it's mainly like 18 to 25 is the demographic. So
yeah, nice.
That's great. I think probably younger kids lie about their age on Instagram or something. Mm. I have no idea. So.
You must have some intense smoking hot girls sliding those DMs.
Man, that's trouble.
What? you got to deal with Victoria's Secret, don't you? Didn't you do something?
Yeah. I was their first ever. This is their words, not mine, but male celebrity brand ambassador. So they were opening up a gender-free, gender-neutral, like sweatpant kind of loungewear line through Pink, and I was heading that for about a year.
And we talked about the power of how social media platforms and having multiple. We talked about this in the Dominican Republic, how it just boosts the numbers. Yeah. Up. And at the time, you didn't have a TikTok account. Do you have a TikTok account right now?
Yeah, I do. I've never posted anything on it.
You've never posted anything on it, which is amazing. So, because we were talking about creating one for him, and he said, though, that when you were, how you did the, like, a Victoria's Secret deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had had the TikTok, the number would have been significantly higher.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I probably would be, you know, financially in an even better place having done TikTok or various things that have come my way and offers that have come my way. I try my best, man, to be about TikTok.
Yeah, but you did one with me.
I did one with you. You did all the work.
I know, but you were in it, dude. You were a special guest in it. It went, like, all I got for the next, like, fucking week was just these fucking 15-year-old girls messaging me being like, how can you hook me up with Darren? Hook me up with Darren. I'm like, dude.
So you posted it on your TikTok?
Of course I did.
So where's my money?
John, you have a question for him? You don't make any money on TikTok, though. You really don't. There's no money to be really made on there.
It's a good save, Bob.
Well, I actually... No, you know what's funny? I made only $15,000 on TikTok lifetime, but I'm an idiot because I realized that I never turned on... It was a switch of a button to just get paid, and I have 5 million people, so I didn't switch it on until 4 million people... I mean... Yeah, 4 million people, I switched it on finally.
Wait, so TikTok pays you directly?
TikTok pays off. Like, if you have a video, like, I just had a video that hit, like, 29 million views with those stupid commentaries, whatever I do. Yeah. And I think I made, like, $800 off that.
Yeah.
Off that video, which is, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Zap God.
The Zap God is here. Yeah, but no, but there's no fucking money in TikTok or any of that stuff. So you've never posted a TikTok. What's your following at?
It's like 64,000 or something like that. But
so why don't you start posting there? You just don't want
to? What am I going to post?
Just dance around with your shirt off, bro. Just take your shirt off. You'll have fucking three trillion. You'll have three trillion followers.
I didn't do this to be an artist, not a gimmick. But I'm not shitting on people doing TikTok. It's just, Bob, you can relate that when you were in the street and you are seeing individuals doing a choreographed dance to a cell phone over and over and over again to a song you've heard a million times.
Yeah.
It makes you want to
kill yourself.
Just rip rip your hair out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's just, it's too much. Yeah, I felt bad. I got a lot of shit for that for some reason. When I did that video, I saw there was like seven kids dancing. And I was like, look at these fucking losers. They're fucking like, you know. And
well, Bob, I mean.
They were like 13. I felt really bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're talking to kids like that. You know?
I know. I just kind of, I'm from Boston, so I kind of just shoot. I just shoot from the hip.
From fucking Boston, so I just fucking talk to kids like that whenever I want.
I know.
I'm fucking wicked cool, bro.
Did you?
Wicked fucking smart.
You're going to have to work on your acting skills. You got to drop the eyes a little bit more, you know. So did you miss me though?
Missed you a lot, man.
It's been fun. We had so much fun. We do.
I'm gonna out you right now, dude. This motherfucker. This fool just doesn't answer FaceTimes. Tell you what.
No, I answer FaceTimes. Nah. I'm just. By the way, I was in a dark place for. I turned everybody off.
Yeah,
that's not talking about. I already talked about.
You come to a friend.
I know I come to a friend, but I wasn't even going to any friends because I just shut myself off and I was playing Fortnite, eating Cheetos.
That's why you were in a dark place. So call me next time.
I know. You know. Yeah. You know what happened.
I think about you often.
So do I.
Random buddy. Times.
So how does a girl get your attention? So I know there's a lot of girls out here watching. How does a girl get your attention?
don't DM them on TikTok.
Yeah. B Dua Lipa.
What is that?
B Dua Lipa. He said B Dua Lipa.
I got to say.
Is that a girl?
It sounds like he's got a crush on Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa's cute.
This couple but right
really?
Now.
Dude, oh, there we go.
We got some viral content right
there
here.
It
Dua
is.
Lipa,
boom.
Are you listening?
Dua Lipa, would you bang Darren is the question.
Whoa.
Would you bang Darren is the question.
How about we just tone it down and go to a nice steak dinner?
Are you a gentleman?
He's asking
of
Dua Lipa.
Of course I'm a gentleman.
You're a gentleman, right?
I was raised by...
What do you mean, of course you're a gentleman? I'm in fucking LA. There's a bunch of scumbag motherfuckers that aren't gentlemen here.
I was raised pretty much solely by women, so I don't think I had a choice. It was one of two ways. But
what do you mean you're solely raised by women?
Like, my dad was parents divorced when I was like 3. Then my dad passed when I was 17, but he was also like away for he was dealing with his own things. Good dad in the times I was with him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just my mom, my sister, and then my grandmother would come to live with us a lot of the time, and just female household.
So do you have a girlfriend right now or no?
Girlfriend right now?
Yeah.
No.
Do you think
soon to be Dua Lipa?
Yes, yeah, soon to be Dua Lipa. Hopefully, right?
Is this the first time she's hearing about this?
Maybe. I don't know. I might have slipped other times.
So have you DM'd Dua Lipa yet?
Nah. Those Hail Marys, like, I don't know if I... Maybe it's my fear.
Oh, I toss them all the time.
Oh, I don't toss any, man. my fear of rejection, I think. I'm just like, man, I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, and then sometimes I've done it, and then it just sits there, and I'm like, still. And I've been left on scene one time, and I was like, that's even worse.
Did you fire back like 9 more times?
Oh, nah. Nah.
Really?
I think I almost deleted my fucking Instagram because I was so ashamed.
you put on your story that you got hacked. Whoever sent out the DMs on my Instagram.
Whoever DM'd all these girls and got seen is not me.
So how many, I'm not going to ever just invade your privacy too much here, but.
You already asked me how much money I made point blank to my face.
All right, fuck it. I'll invade your privacy. So who's the biggest celebrity you've ever had sex with?
Good God. Oh, man, you're bringing me into a dark zone.
And no edits, so, you know, no, just kidding.
Huh?
I said no edits.
Oh, no edits.
You don't even have to give us an answer. That's Timmy Bounce Back. And that's Timmy Bounce Back, who's in here tonight.
Does he, like, crawl into a cupboard when he's done having an outburst?
Timmy, I was going to, if you came down, I wanted to have you pop in for me. Hey, it's Timmy, I'm going to have you, Timmy. Timmy, I'm going to have you come in towards the end of talk. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah. I believe in you, man.
Only Timmy.
Yeah.
Darren.
Oh, shit. Thanks, bro.
His name's Darren.
I know. Yeah. He knows that too.
I know you're Timmy. Oh, shit. I like that.
Timmy, we're in the middle of a podcast. So you can talk to Darren after if you want. Or you can come in.
All right, so here we go. So, hey, you're an ambassador for Sunday Riley. I put this out on my personal Facebook that we're interviewing you today, and my female friends said, okay, give me some questions to ask them. And a lot of them came up with the Sunday Riley stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck, Sunday Riley?
Yeah, I'm not currently working with them anymore, but it was like a kind of a one-off thing, but it was like I have a lot of brands that will come to me and ask me to promote their product, and usually what I say, especially with skincare, I'm like, I need to try it for at least a month or two and make sure it actually works for me before I promote it, because I'm not trying to peddle bullshit.
Yep.
If it doesn't work for me, I'm not going to promote it to people.
Yeah.
So I tried it. They let me try it for like a month, and it's great. I still use it to this day.
Nice.
And it was a great deal.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It's funny though. That was the first thing somebody said to me about they associated you with that product. So whatever paid you was worth every penny for them.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%. I still use all their shit. So it's great.
So who was the biggest celebrity you ever had sex with?
What do you want me to say, myself?
No, give us a hint. Give us a hint. I'll tell you mine.
I tried to change the subject for you, man. I'm sorry.
No, give us a hint.
The biggest celebrity I've ever...
No, or how about this? The biggest celebrity that you have actually engaged in like a DM conversation with.
No. I'm not even going to get on that. No.
We're not going to go there?
No,
all
I'm not
right.
even
all right,
get
we'll
on
pass.
That.
I don't know. Honestly, my
track record is kind of... I think it's decently clean from celebrities. Like, I haven't really dated celebrities or like, you know... I don't know. Dating other actors and engaging with other actors in general can be daunting sometimes.
Well, everybody's already fucking on set all the time. When you go to these movies, everybody's just fucking each other, and it's all, you know, it's, you already get that anyway, so you don't have to like date them.
Time and place.
Time and place for everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What?
But you didn't get famous though until 2020, but you were probably a good looking guy prior to that. Were you still like banging hot girls prior?
I mean, look,
John Lyron.
You were
like, Darren, I'm going to take care of you here in this episode.
Listen, while we're on the subject, I'll put it this way. All right, look, I grew up decent looking guy, and I was raised by women, so I knew how to talk to women, but I was never like, it's funny enough, I wasn't ever like that confident with girls, like even like high school, whatever. Like I'd second guess myself a lot. But when it comes to, if you want to talk about sex, I'm gonna all the male followers on your show are gonna hate me for this when I say this, but I'll be like, look, I've been through like my periods where I've been like real liberal with, you know, having sexual encounters with women, but every time it gets dark at a point. It gets fun for like a minute, but then it gets really dark. Like just like when your goal is like, let me find someone to hook up with, let me find a body. Like it's not sustainable.
What's your type? What's your perfect version?
I don't know, man, but I think I got to find like an accountant in Idaho or some shit. Like, cause I need some,
or like a school teacher or something like that.
School teacher, something like that. Like, you know, I go to like, especially when I've been overseas, like women and people in general overseas. I love the lifestyle. I love the approach to like romance in places I've been outside of the US. I know there's plenty of nice American girls out there, but I think I just prefer international from what I've seen.
It seems like you get kind of like turned off almost at the women like falling at your feet over time. Like you're almost like tainted with it and you want more in a relationship. Versus some other celebrities like eat that shit up. Like, I'll just do this all the time. Yeah.
Like it's always flattering, obviously. Like it's great when like a woman freaks out or is excited to see me or talk to me or, whatever. Like? But no, at the end, and I'm not saying it's not even like the diverse opposite. It's not even like the exact opposite where I'm like, oh, I love games. I love a girl to just like tease me along and act like she hates me. Like, I'll turn away real quick with that. I'm not one to be like, shut down and then try harder. I'm like, okay, okay, bye. He's out. Like, right,
see, you later. See that line on the street?
Happy medium, a head on her shoulders, making her own, way, believing in something, being passionate about it. I'm not going to lie here and say looks don't matter. Mm-hmm. Beauty is it's the first thing you see. So physically attractive is great, but physical attraction really dampers at a point when, there's nothing in the interior. So,
but everybody's taken down some, bad ones. Have you ever taken down some bad ones?
I've,
I love how, like, John, listen, before you walked in, I'm like, John, dude, listen, Darren's kind of, like, brand friendly. Let's be, like, nice. Let's not, like, try and, protect him here and stuff
like
that.
He told me you were, like, a 14-year-old heartthrob.
So, sorry.
Now you're...
So when you're sleeping with a girl, do they ever act, like, make you, like, act, like, in character? Like, your character?
Now we're getting somewhere.
God, no.
The girls make Bob, like, do the voice every time he has sex.
We'll be
the
back voice, after a message like, from our sponsors.
Oh, God, it's so small. It's so small. Yeah, good.
Jesus. No, I've never encountered that, thankfully, and I would never want to act like an 18-year-old boy in bed, so I'm happy about that.
That's true. So you got an animation thing going on too now? Did we already talk about that or no? Animation?
No, yeah, I have a couple animations I'm doing. One is Skull Island, which is based on like it's like a kind of in the King Kong world, and then I'm doing Jurassic World, which is a Jurassic Park one, all for Netflix. And then one called Blue-Eyed Samurai, which I did with like Randall Park, George Takei, Brenda Song, Maya Erskine. And it's, we worked with the guy that wrote it is Michael Green, who wrote Logan, the Wolverine franchise. And we worked with like Game of Thrones director. So it's supposed to be a very adult driven animation for Netflix in like Neo Edo Japan period, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Where's one place you want to visit you haven't visited yet because you've been everywhere?
I'm going to Italy in about 2 weeks, so I'm pretty stoked about
Italy?
That. Yeah.
What part?
Amalfi Coast.
Nice. Yeah. Beautiful. And you've never been to Rome or anything?
No. I have to go to Paris for work, and then I'm going to shoot to Italy before I go home.
Yeah. Beautiful there. Beautiful there.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
You got to go doing the Rome thing at one point, though, like if you will, like the historical value.
Yeah.
The Vatican and Colosseum and shit.
What is Rome like? I've never been.
Dude, the Pope lives there, and you got the Colosseum, and
You never been to Rome, Bob?
I have never been. I get too much paranoia. I'm crazy, you know that. I get too much paranoia and anxiety to go anywhere out of the country. I just think I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah.
You heard the term extroverted introvert?
Yep.
Yeah. I read about it today. It's definitely what you are.
What am I?
$1 million does not know that definition.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You
don't.
$200 right now.
I don't. I just claimed I don't.
Tim. I don't know. I read about it today. Don't quote me on it. I'm not the Webster's on it, but you're easily mistaken all the time as an extrovert.
Okay.
You'd rather say what's on your mind than small talk and bullshit.
Right.
Right.
Just direct.
Direct.
Yeah, of course. So why wouldn't you be fucking direct? Why wouldn't you be direct in life here, right? John, do you agree?
So he was here for 4 days before I got here. And I said, just stay out of that room. You can have the rest of the place yourself. And then I find like beer cans and shit in there. I go, dude, why would you go in that room? He goes, dude, I just pace back and forth by fucking self all day talking to my fucking
that's
self.
That's me too. Yeah. I do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to know my co-host. I wanted to really get a feel for him.
So it's dude, I go, Bobby, you sure you weren't in my bathroom? Because I'm pretty sure I didn't leave this Miller Lite can in there.
He's trying to get his steps in, but he doesn't like LA, so he just uses
I don't really go much. How do you like LA? Are you a fan of LA?
No.
Me neither.
No. I don't know. I think since it's weird, like I'm in love with New York. I live half the time in New York, and I love New York. But I really only got to know New York for the second time of my life, like fully as an adult. During COVID, which anyone in New York can testify, anybody in LA can testify, like things have just not been the same since COVID. Mm-hmm. Things are somewhat permanently different. Like things in New York don't stay open as late. Mm-hmm. Things in LA, sometimes they shut early, but just that, just the dynamic of going out and being social, I feel, is still, people are still like weirdly coming out of their shell again. And some people have just found out that they don't like being out.
Right.
And when they are out, they have too much to compare it to. So it's very strange.
Dude, Chicago's the same fucking way. That's where I live. And because Chicago doesn't have enough people to make it last. If all these nightlife people stopped going, 30% of them stopped going out because I don't need to fucking go out.
Yeah.
A lot of places close.
So it's just, New York, you know, exactly. Like New York's not the same, but New York still has something about it that I just am in love with. I love
just that fast pace.
We went to New York. Yeah. We had a time in New York.
We went straight from Dominican Republic.
Bobbert.
We went straight to Dominican Republic. Me, you, and we went right to, we spent time. What did we do in New York? Did we do something or did we just drink?
Yeah,
I'm the youngest person with Alzheimer's.
We drank a lot of water.
Going back to the nerves thing too, like when you said you were nervous to do all these like things back in the day, but do the nerves go away as you get more? Like, are you nervous when you go on set and you act with like a Jake Gyllenhaal? Or you
on set is the only place I think in life I'm not nervous, and that's kind of something I'm trying to like dissect in my own head because it seems like the place I should be nervous, but it's the only place where like time stops for me, and I feel like. One, like I can mess up and do whatever I want, say whatever I want, because it's not me at that point. Mm. There's like a deniability to it when you're like in character, so it's fun. I'm constantly like overthinking a lot of the time, and especially in social settings, I get very in my head because it's just, and especially now, like again, I'm grateful, but you have, one of the things I don't like about LA is that you have so many people coming up to you that you haven't talked to forever that are just like, I'm so proud of your journey.
Yeah, they're all fucking
losers. I'm so proud of what you're doing. And I'm like, I go to New York and my best friends are there. They're like, hey, you're doing some fucking movie?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, yeah. They're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to watch it. And I'm like, that's my best friend.
Right.
Like,
that's
and he can only talk to me like that because he's my best friend.
Right.
So that's the thing about LA is that it's like, I love you means fuck you in LA. Fuck you means I love you in New York.
Yeah. Cool. You must have to stay in shape with it because you have to take your shirt off a lot in the show.
Yeah. They've eased back on that. You know, in later seasons. But yeah, that was like kind of the premise of my character season one.
What's your workout regimen? You guys are both, you know, like I'm fucking fat as fucking old dad bod. But
eat pizza and ice cream and try to walk 2 miles and butter for me.
So you got good genetics.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a trainer?
I get away with it because I'm tall.
Do you have a trainer that you work with?
No,
on set
man.
And stuff?
No. I box every day. You know, I try to hit the bag and do some, like box. I box like my whole life, so I try to do boxing every day. But it's mainly calisthenics, mainly pull-ups, push-ups, dips, like military style workouts. That's pretty much it.
Dude. What's one character that you would want to play? What you know, as an actor, you always like look for that role that you'd want to play. What would it be?
I mean, man, I would really like to do like The Departed is one of my favorite movies. If there was like a DiCaprio type role, like a Boston crime thriller. Time period, even like let's go back to like 1920s New York. Let's go back to like Prohibition days. Let's go things like that. Just really excite me. But also, if they were gonna do like a young coming of age Joker, I would eat that up.
That's gotta be everybody's like the dream roles.
The dream, Joker. I think, the dream is to be that good. I don't know if that's everyone's dream role. It's just to be that great of a performer.
Yeah, I mean, was Heath Ledger? Did Heath Ledger die because he was in character? How did Heath Ledger die?
I think, long story short, it was like he was taking wild amounts of sleeping pills to sleep because he was in character and somewhat going method the whole time that he was having a lot of trouble sleeping. And I think I think they ruled it an accidental overdose. I could be totally wrong on that, but what I remember was like he couldn't sleep and he took the wrong medication or something.
Yeah. Was there an actor ever that you didn't enjoy, like not didn't enjoy working with, but there's always sometimes a little bit of divas on set and whatnot? Do you know of any like divas that were on set during certain movies?
No, everyone is very well behaved on set, and I'm everyone's friend.
No one's an asshole.
No one's a dick.
I think that's impossible, Darren. I don't think that's true. But
not when you're a nice guy like me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but they do get, they treat, it's so crazy. Yeah. Like we were on the Roadhouse movie I've said 30 times, but which I don't even want to admit to now because I just heard I was shitting it. But
did Bob actually like blow Jake in front of everyone? Because he talks about Jake so fucking
much. I've never seen a more yearning face to blow someone in my life other than Bob's.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what?
Wait, what did I do?
You have a very eager face because you were excited about what you're doing. I mean, maybe if
we just talked about this with Bert Kreischer. We couldn't. I told that there's no number.
Listen, you don't have to blow anyone, but if you want to blow Jake, you're gonna have to ask him.
I'll tell you what, I just think Gyllenhaal was just chill with me. He was cool, and like when I was didn't know what the fuck I was doing, he was just kind of like, "You're good, bro."
He was on my podcast. No bullshit. Bob spent 12 minutes talking about some studying Jake and some sex scene, like for 12 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, I did.
True story.
So guys, this is my podcast. I don't know if anybody knows that. You know, so
should we talk about Jake Gyllenhaal's deltoids?
What's his deltoid? Oh, dude, yo, he got in shape.
See,
for
look
that
how excited he got. Look at him. His eyes go bugged out.
He looked pretty good with his shirt off up that UFC thing. I saw him real
briefly. You want to take five?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm always ready to go.
You're sweating.
I'm always showing my true colors here.
Listen, you guys are on the set. Give the rest of us a little preview, okay? So you're remaking Roadhouse. It's Jake, Patrick Swayze's character, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not it doesn't seem to be a direct verbatim remake. Okay. But yeah, it's definitely inspired by that story and follows kind of the same pattern. So he is playing Patrick Swayze's character.
Gotcha.
I have no idea who we are, Bob. I'm calling my role a cameo role.
Do you dance?
Do I dance?
Or no, I'm sorry, Roadhouse. I was thinking about Dirty Dancing.
Thinking about
I love it. I love Tommy Lou.
He's got Roadhouse and Dirty Dancing mixed up.
You sure you're not trying to fucking suck some bad dick out of there, huh? You know? We were both, I think we were bad guys.
We were bad guys.
So I kept fucking up that scene, bro. Me and
got something else in your mind.
Fine.
Me and Sam was your character, right?
Sam was my character.
Yeah. I guess I was Jack, but I was just Bob. We're in the car together, and I think I could talk. We could talk about scenes in a movie, right?
I don't know. I honestly, man, that's on you.
I mean, I always do that. I've already spoiled the whole movie.
Just go ahead. Yeah. Tell me the ending.
But we were sitting in the car together, and I felt really bad for you because he didn't have that many lines in the scene that I was doing with Jake and that one scene that I just had. Yeah. And I kept fucking up over and over again. But what did I fuck up? I forget. Did I just keep forgetting my lines or was it Jake's fault?
You were just not a really good actor.
Exactly, dude. Well, the thing is this: I'm like, I just like, you know, I do so many different things, and then somebody's like, yo, you want to just move with Jill and all, whatever I do, and then finally I show up, I'm like, fuck, this is bro. There's like 40 cameras. I'm like, Gyllenhaal's about to walk out and I got to do all these fucking lines.
I'm going to give it up to you. All right. One, you just have a good voice. All right. So that makes things a little bit easier for you. People want to listen to you.
If I can't use my voice, the acting really wasn't that bad
because I'm gonna give it to you for this. Like, you were getting your fingers broken multiple times.
Yeah.
So, and then you were rolling on the ground and you were rolling on gravel. You were bleeding on your elbows.
I was bleeding.
You cut yourself everywhere. You did this. You went for it.
Yeah.
But you know, when you talk about acting, like, and this was what I remember Jake trying to give you this direction, like, you break one and it was like, ah, and then you break another one and it's like, there needs to be levels of your terror and pain.
Dude, it was so funny.
So we were trying to get Bob there.
Dude, it's so funny. I'll show the clip of the behind the scenes, obviously, after the movie comes out. It's literally Jake just trying to tell me how to feel pain. Because, like, the scene would happen, I'd pull something out, and he grabs it and breaks my fucking my hand, and I'm supposed to be like, ah, you broke my finger, and then like he grabs my other hand, and I just forgot to react, and I was like, I just kept fucking up.
Just kind of looked at him like,
And Jake was just so nice to me, but I felt so bad because the walk back to reset was a long, because our scene was, he was walking. So it was like, every time I was like, cut, we got to do it again. Bob sucks. He had to walk all the way back and do it again. You could just see it. He was just like, walk with his head down, like, Jesus fucking Christ.
And I basically had to, too. Like, I had to time it so that by the time I got out of the car to come assist you, it was the end of the scene. But you were like 50 feet away from me. So I had no idea what you were saying. I just went on my own cue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, please don't mess this up and like get there too early. Because one time I thought I did. And Jake was like, you're coming too soon. Like, you're coming too soon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. And Doug was like, no, I think he came at the right time. I was like, mom and dad are fighting. I'm going to let this one ride.
Was Jake a director in the movie?
No, but I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, like, when you're in Jake's position leading a movie like that, like, he has such a strong opinion of, like, what his character is and, you know, what the story is that he was definitely assisting Doug in certain ways. Like, and just... You know, because when it comes to acting too, like, the director can tell you whatever you want, but if it doesn't feel right, it's going to show. So I think sometimes Jake did things that just felt the way it should be and the way that worked better for him.
Yeah, Doug Liman, the director, I remember you weren't there for it. They had to fly me in for a final scene, I guess.
I was supposed to be there.
You were supposed to be there a year ago?
I was in Budapest shooting Gran Turismo.
Yeah, so I totally fucked that one up so bad, dude. Like, so I lose my passport in Vegas 24 hours before I was supposed to be there. And I have to land in a fucking, in America, take a speedboat, like, sneak into the country to do it.
Oh, my God.
They almost had to move the entire boat from international waters to the U.S. Just to shoot the scene. Because I guess I was actually had to be in it, because they, whatever Joel said. And that was to get told by a director, Doug Liman. We did 12 takes of me walking on the boat with Billy.
Oh, no.
And he was basically, I walked up, my fingers broke. He's like, what happened? And all that stuff. And he, I remember Doug after the 12th take said to me, and this is probably the worst thing a director could say to you. This is what he said. After the 12th take, he said, hey, yeah, so how about you give me something that I can use? And I go, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I just did, I think, one more, and he's like, all right, yeah, we're good. And that was it. But I'm like, dude, I'll help blow the movie up for you, man. Don't worry about it, man. You know?
So when that happens on a set, they're like, all the real actors, are you guys like talking amongst yourselves? Like, fuck, Mattery again. Fuck.
No, I mean, look, it can get frustrating at a point if it's something that simple, but I think Bob, like,
I mean, dude, you can say it. I'm not.
No, you guys have like a group text, you have a side one without Bob on it. Here we go.
Yeah,
here we go.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There was so much shit talked about me. I think probably, dude, I'm the only scene that I think had to be reshot. So that whole scene that we shot, remember that? Yeah. The one where I was rolling the green screaming like 47 times.
Yeah.
We get the call the next day. They're like, so we have to redo the whole
thing. Yeah, we did redo the entire thing.
Because of you?
Yeah. No, I don't think it was because of you, man. I don't know. Whatever it was, whether
I think
or not,
it was because of me.
Yeah,
dude.
It might have been you.
I think it was me. Yeah, I swear to God.
I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Don't. Careful.
It's not a question.
Careful.
It's a statement, sir.
Why?
That's the question.
Why?
Just think about it.
I'm an idiot.
I just wanted to drive you nuts all night. Call me about it tomorrow, because you'll still be thinking about it.
Fuck.
You're going to be pacing around your room all night. What the fuck, did he mean by that?
What did you mean by
it
that?
It wasn't a question.
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck.
I'm all over it. Get back to me.
Oh, man. That's going to bug me. Is this a real thing, or are you fucking with me?
What are you talking about?
Am I really an idiot for a certain reason of something I did?
What?
I didn't fuck one of your people, did
this
I?
This guy, dude.
What?
Are you all right?
I'm all right. You're getting me all freaked the fuck out.
Yeah,
now.
I missed you,
dude,
man.
Bob's paranoid without this kind of shit, dude. Yeah. You know, you're adding to it.
Yeah. Do you ever deal with anxiety?
Every day of my life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of anxiety? Like, do you have like panic? I don't talk about panic.
I was the kid growing up with a paper bag in his pocket at all times, because I'd hyperventilate consistently.
Paper bag doesn't work, though, does it?
I mean, it did at the time. Like, I was bamboozled enough to make, you know.
In your head, it makes you feel like it's doing something.
I mean, it kind of does. Like, you know, you get to, like, control the rhythm of your breathing and pay attention to that. It did help me.
Fuck that. I go right to
9-1-1. They tried to put me on medication when I was very young, and then I took it, like, once, and I never again. I was like, I can't mess with this shit.
I saw you did something for mental health advocacy. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that was a big part of the Pink. It was a really big part of the Pink campaign.
Was that personal to you, or?
Yeah, it is, because it's like, you know, it's especially based on it's talking about, you know, mental health awareness among young adults and teens, which I think is a huge thing, because it's like, I wish I started focusing and recognizing things about my mental health at that age, because I'd be in such a better position now.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to tackle it as when you're an adult, when it's like changing as an adult is very difficult.
Right.
Like you kind of become who you become. You can improve. You can fall, but it seems, you know, as a kid, you're a lot more impressionable, and like if you can make those steps younger as a child, as a young adult,
it will
echo later in your life.
Yeah,
you know?
That's like strategic for Victoria's Secret to go after that, and then use you with the role you play, you know, to hit home for the kids. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
You've had to. I know you were fucking with me. You've had to have some shitty performances that you thought, right? Like, you've had to have fucked up on set.
No,
like, never.
No.
Really? You never had those moments?
Yeah, of course I have, man.
So what was like the worst fuck up you ever did, where like you, what I did?
The worst thing I ever, I mean, honestly, I'm so like, I'm very focused on set, and I really try to make it about business, and I'm known to like not really have a lot of like blooper material for blooper reels, which sometimes I'm like, I should have had more fun.
Yeah.
And just let that ride. But if I mess up, I'm really quick to just kind of snap back into it and try it again. Mm-hmm. The most I ever, one time, like I mean, this wasn't even like while I was shooting, but like I was doing Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I picked up a prop gun because it was in front of me on the tray, and I was just like, oh, that's cool. But it was like a rubber one, and I picked it up, and the prop guy like freaked out. He was like, do not ever approach this without permission. Like, don't ever touch it. And I was like, oh my God, I'll never do it again.
Well, that's because all the Alec Baldwin stuff.
Well, this was before. Right? This was way before that. Right. But, I mean, we're talking like the Alec Baldwin thing, obviously terrible, but you're talking about Brandon Lee as well was another one that was shot.
Yo, they gave, let's
quiz Bob. Quiz Bob. What's he referring to with Brandon Lee? Let's see your Hollywood history.
I don't know Brandon Lee. I know that Alec Baldwin, but they gave me a gun on set too, bro.
What's the smartest
He's
bird?
Younger than you, and he fucking knows, man. What, come on.
Listen, you can ask come me. Come on, bro. I want to have a fucking trivia off.
Dude. I'm not even a Hollywood fucking guy, and I know.
I don't know shit. I don't pay attention to anything. I just, you know, I'm in my own fucking world.
I should be the main host, and you should be the co-host.
I'm in my own fucking world here. I want to actually bring my buddy in here too, because he's an actor, and he came in. You know the F5 tornado that you heard coming in through the back door?
Yeah.
Timmy, will you mind sitting here for a minute? Like, well, I got to piss.
Big tornado.
But Timmy,
guy.
You can't. There's a rules. Timmy, there's rules though. Timmy, so Timmy works a lot with.
I'm gonna take my shirt off. I'm not gonna touch anybody.
No, you just can't talk shit about me on my own show. That's it. I can't have you go nuclear.
I'm out.
All right, fine. You can. All right, fine. You can talk shit. Fine. You're allowed. No, so Timmy's an actor as well.
Oh, nice.
And he
I can't believe you're a California kid, because
and he works with wait.
You're from Canada.
No.
I get that a lot recently, and I don't know why.
Will you sit there or something?
Interesting.
I want the three of you for a minute. I want the special.
This is my show.
Okay, Tim, can I just tell you something? By the way, we already had to pause the show earlier because my fucking phone was ringing. No one ever fucking calls me. He's in the middle of a good story. First 5 minutes, my phone keeps ringing. I go check.
You told me to come.
It was it was the front desk. That phone was the front. Him calling from the front desk.
This is
I get zero phone calls a day.
This
I get
is Timmy
zero
the tornado.
Calls. Yeah.
Timmy the tornado.
No. Well, maybe.
He isn't like that.
Well, cheap speed, you know. Very exuberant, radical extrovert. I love it, dude. I sat over there like a seagull on a power line, and I'm like, this guy's talented, he's great looking, and he's smart.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, man.
All right. Doug Lyman, Joel Silver, right?
Good times.
Do you know, Bob, I'm going to bash you on this one.
I feel like we're on the spectrum of male roles right
now.
Okay, from here
to
here. This is one role you can play and everything in between.
Hold please. Patrick Swayze is one of my all-time favorites. I've watched Roadhouse no less than goddamn whatever. Bob's like, do you ever hear the movie Roadhouse? I'm like, this is a fucking joke. Yeah. It's like, you ever hear the movie Die Hard?
Yeah,
no, I haven't. What? He's like, dude, a minute. I'm like, who's directing? Like, Doug did...
still like a lot of the Bourne,
Matt Damon.
Yeah, the Bourne movies. Yeah,
he's fucking genius. Mm-hmm. And there is an attorney that I never call favors on.
Mm-hmm.
He represents a guy named Tim Booze.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No, you get where I'm talking. Yeah. He called a favor in. Joel said, "Yep, bring him." Yeah. All Bob had to do was tell me the date they were flying, and I was going to be a thug. I'm in SAG since fucking 2002.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Dingbat.
Yeah.
Fucking flies away like the fucking Riddler and doesn't tell me he's down there. I go, dude, I got a pass to be on this movie. And I like Jake. I mean, I'm like, what? Total abandonment. I didn't tell you that story. Listen. I saved that whopper. Till right now.
Darren, you could chime in on this, but I'm guessing the reality is Bob barely was able to get in that movie himself. He's like the last guest invited to a party. He doesn't
you
get to bring more guests.
Bob was
all in.
Yeah.
I called called Joel.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, if you just get to the set, I have my passport. I was ready to go, dude. I have my shorts on. I got these fucking.
Can I just say one thing?
This story is completely false.
That's a crock of shit, you know. That is a crock of shit. You abandoned me in a supermarket.
Yeah. Oh, God. Is there any acting history stuff for Darren before he goes?
Well, no, I came out here in music. I winged it. If you play in front of 10,000 people, that's the most I've ever played in front of.
Wow.
As a musician, you can kind of figure it out. You're an artist. It's creative. There's people that paint. There's people that write. There's people that act. There's people that dance. Mm-hmm. People that sing. You get it. So I caught a director who's really, really great. And when the band was over, 35 Bieber put me in retirement. And he was an ascending director at the time. Mm-hmm. I was in his movie, put me in like 50 commercials. I was cashing in on commercials when commercials were cashing in.
When they were cashing in.
Coming around now.
Yeah. I mean, it's very saturated with Instagram and TikTok at this point, you know?
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. it's like, look, if you, no one under 30 watches television. Mm-hmm. I'm 48. I watch television. The Office, great show.
Right. Yeah.
They're selling pudding right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Everything's
yeah.
changing.
Phyllis and Stanley on the Jell-O commercial.
Yeah.
Office fans. And your show is by the Office writers, you said, right?
Yeah. What's Mindy Kaling wrote and created the show. And she was, some people don't know this, but she was like one of the main writers on The Office. Like she was,
really?
She wrote a lot of the episodes.
Dude, I'm an Office fucking guru. And Bob Bob promised me he's going to get Kevin from The Office to come on my podcast.
Who created,
is he going to do
Dan?
It? Dude, let's get him right here,
Ricky
bro.
Gervais created, but.
Ricky Gervais is just the UK one. The American ones is different writers.
Can't
UK, you ever try to watch the UK one? It fucking sucks. It's hard to.
God. It's fucking terrible. It's a fucking. It's just a little bit too subtle for you.
Dude, well,
hey, how about you?
Oh,
how about
this guy? Like I met him for one day.
Subtle is not your fucking forte.
I feel like I need to start screaming or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I can fucking agree with that. I'm gonna get that.
What fucking language was that? Which of your four languages was that?
I thought you might have understood it, bro.
Yeah. If you had to be him.
I never act under the influence of a substance, but I might.
Oh my God.
But I might for this man.
Oh my God.
Hey, Timmy, how about this? Why did you drink there? Why don't you promote your beer?
Nah, whatever. Hey, anyway, music failed, acting failed, hosting failed. I bought this beer that I know nothing about. Oh, there's the camera. Wait, which one? I thought this was a three. Oh my God, my podcast is so different. There it is. Oh my God, no. Oh my God, you're so funny.
Where's
so
my check?
Literal. And anyway, I got bounce back beer. There
where's
it is.
My check?
By the way, you can't drink on camera legally. Watch this.
Tim A.
Thank you.
Tag in. Good shit, Timmy.
By the way, I don't have to really dress this way. I came back from a commercial. Look at the shoes.
For the record, he wants everyone to know he doesn't normally dress like that. Just if you didn't hear it.
So sometimes, I know you're probably used to when you're doing your press runs and all that stuff. You're doing. You've had to do a lot of press for this show yet or no?
A lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot.
He goes from like Good Morning America to this.
You know, hey, honestly, no, this is my first podcast, Bob.
That's why I was so happy because we talked about it for so long. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful you're here.
Well, it's an interesting platform to do it on. It's interesting because like these press junkets that I do, it's literally, and I mean, God bless them. It's their job and it gets myself and the show out there. But it's people asking the same series of about 10 questions for about 8 hours a day. And I'm sitting in one place getting the same questions asked over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. What's your biggest pet peeve question that you get asked that you hate to answer? How did you begin?
No, I love that question because it's a worthwhile story to ask. Some of it to me is like, how do you think your character has developed over the four seasons? And part of me is like, watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it and find out. Like,
that was my next question. Actually, was that?
Yeah. That brings up a perfect time to talk about this new tattoo you got on your thigh.
Yeah, I did get a tattoo. I got a Ripper Magoo tattoo right here. You can't really see it because our camera's.
Why does it look like a fifth grader wrote it?
Because I didn't care. Because I was in Scottsdale. I had a bet that I made. I lost the bet, and I just said. Just fucking, he's like, well, how do you want it? I said, I don't give a fuck. Just write the word.
You know what that looks like? That looks like
Simpsons.
That no. I was going to say, it looks like you're. It's like 8 p.m. and like that's like the font for a Nickelodeon show about to drop. Like,
yeah, I mean, I told him, all right, well, fuck it, Simpsons. And that's what I thought it was. I mean, I think I like it, dude. You know, to explain to my, you know, grandkids one day. Well, I'm not going to make it.
I'm just kidding, Bob.
But
I mean, you're brave enough to get a tattoo. I'm not, so good on you.
I never was.
Sam, I
never was, but then one night I was just like, fuck it. I mean, my head was spinning. I was all over the place.
All zapped. Cool,
you know? Yeah. So, and I was zapped. Do you get zapped ever?
No. I can't handle the zaps,
man. Try and keep this. I seen you down in the Dominican Republic.
Can't handle the zaps.
Bit.
I mean, I can drink, but you've
that's what I meant. No.
You've seen
there's
me
there's a misconception
drink.
On what zap means. I think it means different things to different people. Bob.
A zap that me and Timmy created was strictly Adderall, right? The drug Adderall.
I think a lot of people assume, which I've
slowed down a lot. Definitely. Yeah. Like that was crazy for me. I've talked about that before.
Cases.
And Timmy then is a great influence, saying, "I have cases of them." Yeah. So
I think I got to get out of here. Man.
Yeah, no, no, I mean, no, but no, no. But Adderall is if Adderall is a drug that is if it's taken right, the right way, and not like Timmy does when he pops up his eyeballs at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
It's there are people that it benefits, but I think it's a really really dangerous drug. It's literally they used to give it to fighter pilots in World War I so they could keep flying. Did you know that?
That sounds like
not the not.
I mean, hey, cocaine used to be in Coca-Cola. It was a different time.
Yeah,
time.
But cocaine, I don't. The thing about that is just that. I mean, I'm very anti all that now because that shit's crazy. People are dying left and right with all the fentanyl.
I'm going to say something in Bob's defense. Okay, every time he's
what?
On my
really?
Story. Yeah, I am. I am. All right, this needs to be said. All right, I've hung out with this dude a lot of fucking times, and whenever you're on my Instagram stories or whatever, somebody fucking swipes up every fucking time. How much coke is that dude on? He has never. ever done cocaine around me, and I was around him a couple times where it was in the vicinity and he had nothing to fucking do.
Never, I'll never touch that ever again.
All these fucking people saying Bob does fucking blow all the time, you're fucking haters, you don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Yeah, but I also did the reason why is
the
same.
But do you have some? I'm just kidding.
No, but it's the same. No, none of that. It's the same thing of as Adderall's kind of the same thing if you abuse it though.
Yeah.
And that's where I did have a period
same
of time.
Same effect.
It's the same exact effect.
It's the same effect. But there's a public stigma though. Where people on blow are treated. I mean, in LA, it's fucking, it doesn't matter. But like, fuck. There's a public stigma in LA. If you don't do blow, you're a fucking problem. I'm just kidding.
No,
but I'm serious. Like, just in general,
it's terrible,
public,
terrible, terrible thing.
Even though Adderall will have the same impact on you as cocaine in a lot of ways, like the public looks at cocaine much more negatively. And it bothers me that people say that about you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I've heard this about Adderall, but I don't know if this is true, that it's basically just methamphetamine.
Yeah, 1,000%.
It's really what
it's
is.
It's the same
right?
thing. If you go and like I said, I've had times where I've taken like 5 fucking pills in a day.
Damn. Just, man.
What size? The 30s?
Oh, man. I mean, what?
So you're like,
so
you're
they're
like,
going to do Adderall, there's 5 milligram like, pills and there's 30 milligram
you're
pills.
You're like on like the, that's, you're like a, that's like
not
a.
Not a funny subject. I'm in recovery, guys. No,
okay, how big were the pills, Bob? 5 pills of.
That's like a white
you know
collar version.
Biscuit when he won the Kentucky Derby? I'm just
kidding. This is a white collar version of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like, no, white collar Jesse Pinkman.
You know, I think if I, you know, because you're supposed to do it this way. If you're prescribed, you're supposed to eat a big breakfast because it cuts your appetite a little bit. Then you take it in the morning and then it's like it just works its way and you got to do it consistently.
Yeah.
For me, I can't do anything in moderation really and can't do it consistently. So I have slowed down. I mean, I've had a couple times.
That's why you should call your friends more about.
No, I don't need to. I'm not at that stage where I was. Well, I was close, but.
You were getting paranoid. You get paranoid from.
No, but I'm paranoid for different reasons because, I mean, you don't know a lot about my life too. Like I gotta,
paranoid because they're really coming to get you. They're really coming to kill you. Yeah.
He wouldn't go out in Dominican Republic with me. Like, wouldn't come out.
Yeah,
no. I'm like, Bob.
I'm a wanted man.
You're not that important, man.
I'm actually, I am Walter White. I'm the, I really am.
Now you're just going to out yourself.
That's it.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of TV? Do you watch your own movies and your own shows?
No, it depends. Sometimes I have to because it's for press. Like, I have to watch the show so I can answer questions, because once you see the cut, that's when questions are based, like when the interviewers ask you. So I have to watch it for that reason. There's sometimes I don't want to watch because I'm like, I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm. People hate seeing themselves on screen, right? Like there's famous actors that don't like themselves.
Yeah. And I understand that because like, look, sometimes I get real gassed up when I see like a great performance that I did. And I'm like, wow, nice. I look good. I did well. Like it's a good scene. It was edited brilliantly. But then there's other times where I'm just like, knocking myself so hard for how I look or like the lighting made my face look like this and you're your harshest critic, you sit there and you just dissect and dissect until you're nothing. So there's certain times when I'm just like, maybe not, like maybe I won't.
Yeah. Can't, I can't, even the own podcasts I do, I don't ever watch them. You ever watch your own podcast?
I do a little bit, but
well, just
at
the time though. I know what I'm time.
Yeah. I got a question for you, if you don't mind.
Well, we're on a podcast, John. You're allowed to do that.
I'm allowed to ask him questions. This is, I've been thinking about how to phrase this because I don't want to get like canceled by, let me just preface this. I'm asking you this as a straight male. All right.
And, sure.
All right. A lot of good looking dudes that try to become actors. Okay. You're a good looking guy. There's a lot of good looking people. All right. So you're 29 years old. You finally get casted in this 28, 29 years old. And it's your big fucking break. Okay. What's the differentiator, man? You're not the only good looking guy in LA, right? Yeah. Like what's the distinction that makes you go from here to here like that?
I really put it this way. Because I've done a lot of thinking about it and it's something where you know, I grew up and I was told this is a one in a million shot for a career. Mm-hmm. And you're told that, and you're told that over and over and over again. And I grew up in LA, so I had a lot of friends that were child actors, and then, you know, they got ruined. Some of them, some of them just never worked again, or some of them just lost their zazz for it.
They just suck. A lot of them suck.
But it's, I don't know. It's just the town where like everyone is trying to make it in this industry. But the more I was doing it and the more consistent I was staying, I started meeting people on smaller films that were like, you'd never recognize them in the street. You'd never know them from anywhere, but they were making six figures a year as an actor.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, so it, you can make a sustainable living.
Even if you're not a household name.
Even if you're not a household name. I was like, so it's not one in a million. It's it was more, and I started to understand this because the way it worked is like, you know, I'd go in for an audition, beg for a callback, maybe not get it. And then it gets to like, because I kept going in and never gave up and never said no to auditions, casting directors then started to request me because they knew I could act. Mm. So they straight to callbacks, and then the producers got to know me, and then it would be straight to producers, and then it got to directors wanting to meet with me, and it was just about consistency and staying in it long enough where you're a recognizable face to them at least. But I realized it's not one in a million for the person that keeps on going for it after they're told no, because you can still be that actor that's making $25K for a movie in a month and make a sustainable living. But the one in a million out here is the people that are told they're special their whole life in the middle of Kansas, and they move here.
Got it.
And they realize that everyone is special here.
Yep.
And they can't take no more than 30 times. And then they want to pack up and go home.
Yep.
Or if they want to sit and think that Scorsese is going to be outside of a coffee shop and be like, hey, you're perfect for this movie. You're beautiful. I want to cast you, which has happened.
Yep.
It's one in a million.
Yeah, that, doesn't, that is true though, because I always when I was I used to think that like if I go and stand outside and like now being in the position I am, and sometimes people come to me and want to work with me and whatnot, like I don't think it really works to like, you know, go in and knock on doors. And I mean, being persistent is obviously key, but at the same time it's a different industry where acting requires like,
I mean, it's just no one gives a shit
unless you're just a hot ass chick and the dude's like, Hollywood's fucking sketchy.
Yeah,
everybody's just fucking banging,
it's cleaning up, you know, thankfully. But I think it's like, you know, no one gives a shit what you say you can do. They give a shit about what you do.
How long are you this is a really off topic, but like lasting in the bedroom, right? Like when you're having sex with a girl, and I don't know why this came out of right field here, and I'm just really, because I really want to know this. What do you think your average time is? And I'll ask John first. Like lasting in a bedroom. Be honest.
You're asking me first.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in college, it
was
a lot shorter than now.
So why though? Oh.
Well, just as you get older, you get a little better at it, I think, and it takes a while. I don't know.
What's like the average time for you and a girl?
Just
like the last.
My official
know.
Answer is hours. I'm just hours, ladies. Hours.
I really? Think it's enough to hit the peak of romance and chivalry.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm like four pumps and I'm out. It's pretty bad, girls. I know. I just wanted to know. I just had to ask that question.
You
before.
Can tell I'm media trained, can't you?
You what?
I'm media trained.
He knows exactly what.
Yeah, you know what to do. I could really be a dick. I could trap you. Anyways, dude, I listen, you're one of my closest fucking buddies. I consider you one of my closest buddies. You're the man. I appreciate this so much. Do you enjoy the podcast? Are you going to do more of these things ever?
Hey, man, this has been great. This is a nice open platform to, shoot the shit. It's been great. You guys are awesome.
We had a good time, man. John, I appreciate you coasting. Love John, you're obviously going to be coasting a lot more with me going forward, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Darren, we wish you the best of luck fourth season, and then... You gonna be depressed when it's over, or are you gonna be happy?
You know, man, I'm ready to take a little bit of a bit of time on my own. I have a movie I'm still producing at the moment, so that's on the radar. But I'm looking forward to see what's next.
I love it, dude. Nice. You're the fucking man. All right, Darren, take care.
Thank you, man.
Enjoy. Appreciate you.
That was awesome, Darren.